Morning. Today's Daf Nerchin is Daf Tes. We are in the Mishnah on the bottom of Ches Amud Beis, and we are continuing the second paragraph of Erechin, and we are not talking about Erechin, we're talking about ranges. The reason why we're not talking about Erechin is because the first Mishnah, which was talking about Erechin, talked about the range of how much a person is going to pay when he makes an Erechin pledge. He's going to pay anywhere in the range between one sel and 50 slaim. And the ensuing discussion in the Gemara, but after that, the Mishnayos in the second parak, from that point going forward, got into the discussion of ranges. It's a thematic parak, where as long as we talked about ranges, the Mishnayos continue to talk about ranges. So the second Mishnah, which we did yesterday, talked about the range in terms of a woman who wants to know exactly when her Pesach is. She totally lost track of where she stands in terms of whether she's a Nida, whether she's a Zava, and where exactly she lands in terms of her Yemei Nida versus Yemei Zova. So the Mishnah over there tells us also that there's a range of how many days she's going to have to go through where there is no discharge whatsoever in order for her to get back to her Pesach anywhere between 7 to 17, and the ensuing discussion of the Gemara. Another Mishnah that we did yesterday was about Saras. So how many weeks is a person going to be confined for, or a house going to be confined for? So the range is going to be anywhere between 1 week to 3 weeks. So that was the Mishnah regarding Saras. Continuing now in the discussion with this, the Mishnah that we're up to, and the Mishnah here is going to give us other ranges as well. Ein pochasim me'arba chadashim ham'ubarim v'shana. So what is the least number of months that are going to be me'ubar, that are going to be pregnant months, going to be larger months, so to say? So it's going to be no less than four, velonira yesar shmona, and no greater than eight. Okay, now at this point in time, I'm not going to explain much of what's going on over here in the Mishnah, because as you will see, the Gemara is going to be spending the entire day today discussing this line of the Mishnah, so I'm going to wait just a little bit before we explain this line of the Mishnah in terms of the calendar, and how many months are going to be an Iber month, are going to be extended months, and how many of them are going to be shorter months, and why should that be? So all that's going to be explained in much greater detail in the Gemara. So when we get to the Gemara, we're going to discuss in much greater detail. The Mishnah also gives us a couple of other ranges as well. Shtei Halechem. Shtei Halechem is the mincha that is offered on Shavuos. Shavuos, you have an unusual event. You have a mincha tzibur, a mincha that's offered by the community. There are not that many minchas that are offered by the community. On the second day of Pesach, you have the Omer. On Shavuos, you have the Shtei Halechem, and I think that covers it. Those are the menachos that are offered from a communal standpoint. The Shtei Halechem, which is offered on Shmuel, saying, Chalam Pachos Mishtayim Velo Yoser Ashlosha. In terms of when it's going to be eaten from the time that it's baked, the range is going to be anywhere between 2 to 3 days. In a normal year, 2 days. Now, the general rule in order to understand the Mishnah over here is that the baking of the Shtei Halechem is not going to override neither Shabbos nor Yontif. And so that means to say that we're not baking the Shtei Halechem on Yontif. So why should that be? And why can't it be baked on Yontif? Meaning we know that hakrava of a carbon can be baked on Yontif, but we assume that anything that could be done before Yontif has to be done before Yontif. This is subject to a machlokas hatanayim, but we're subscribing to the viewpoint that anything that can be done before Yontif should be done before Yontif. So therefore, the baking of the Shtei Halechem, which can be done before Yontif, should be done before Yontif. And what is going to be the time lapse between the baking of the Shtei Halechem and the consumption of Shtei Halechem? So generally 2 days. And when we say 2 days, we're counting the day in which it's baked and the day in which it's consumed. So, meaning to say, generally speaking, Erev Shavuos. Erev Shavuos is going to be baked. On Shavuos is going to be consumed. That's 2 days. Let's say Shavuos falls on a Sunday, like this past year, Shavuos fell on a Sunday. So what does that mean? The day prior is going to be Shabbos. You can't bake it on Shabbos. Fine. So then you're going to bake it on Friday. The time lapse between the time of baking and the time of consumption is going to be 3 days. That's the point of the Mishnah. Lechem Apanim, Einach HaPachos Mites V'lo Yoser Al HaChadasar. And as far as the Lechem Apanim, it's a very similar idea. Lechem Apanim, which is going to be placed on the Shulchan on Shabbos, kept on the Shulchan over the course of the entire week. Next Shabbos is going to be removed from the Shulchan and eaten by the Mishmaros, the Mishmar HaNichnas, by Mishmar HaYotzei. It will be divided. There are 12 loaves in total. Six will be given to the Mishmar HaNichnas. Six will be given to the Mishmar HaYotzei. And that will continue. That schedule will continue on a weekly basis. We are discussing, once again, the range of the time lapse between the time the Lechem Apanim is baked and when the Lechem Apanim is consumed. So again, it's the same basic idea. It cannot be baked on Shabbos, so that means it's going to be baked on Erev Shabbos, being baked on Erev Shabbos meaning, and it's not going to be consumed until the following Shabbos, because again, like I said, It's going to be put on the lechem. It's going to be put on the shulchan this Shabbos only, so that it's going to stay on for a full week. Remove next Shabbos and consume next Shabbos. So, what is the time? The time lapse between the time it's baked and the time that's consumed. So again, you're baking an Erev Shabbos, you're counting Erev Shabbos as day one, and you go now all the way to the next Shabbos, so that's going to be a total of 9 days. That is the minimum time lapse that's going to exist between time baked and time consumed. It can go as much as 11 days. How can it go as much as 11 days? Because consider, sometimes you won't be able to bake it on Friday, sometimes Friday will be Yontif. Consider sometimes Thursday and Friday will be Yontif. Now, Thursday and Friday being Yontif is in of itself interesting, meaning we're talking about obviously an Eretz Yisrael. They don't have a 2-day Yontif. That part's true. They don't have a 2-day Yontif, but they do have a 2-day Rosh Hashanah. So they have a 2-day Rosh Hashanah, which means now that Thursday and Friday are going to be Rosh Hashanah. Even by Eretz Yisrael, even Bezman Beis HaMikdash, it's a 2-day Rosh Hashanah. See the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. See the beginning of Maseches Beitza for a discussion on that. But in the meantime, however, That is the case. So that means now that it's going to be being baked on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So that's going to be a total of 11 days from the time that's baked to the time that's actually consumed. If you think about it, by the way, just we can call it a riddle in the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday, Friday, so when is Yom Kippur going to be falling out that year? Yom Kippur is going to be falling out on a Shabbos. If Yom Kippur is falling out on a Shabbos, so how exactly are you eating the lechem upon him on that particular Shabbos, which also happens to be Yom Kippur as well? Okay, interesting riddle within the Mishnah. Ein katam nimo pachus miches v'lo yosar shnei masar. Now, as far as a katan is concerned, so a katan's mila is going to be anywhere within a range of 8 to 12 days. Now, a mila can actually be much later than 12 days. A mila can be, you know, in other words, if circumstances are such, if situation is such, sometimes a mila won't be for significant amounts of time. Medical concerns, whatever the reasons are. What the Mishnah here means by this is that even if you're doing everything kehalacha and everything is fine, the baby's fine, sometimes the mila is just simply going to be postponed for halachic considerations, nothing to do with the baby, for halachic considerations, sometimes a day, sometimes two, three, up to an additional 4 more days. In other words, anywhere in a range from 8 to 12. How do you get from 8 to 12? So you take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi on the bottom of the last Rashi in the Mishnah. Kat nima l'shnei masar, ketzad. Nola benesh masar shara Shabbos, ena nima b'Shabbos. So Rashi says, let's take the following into consideration. Our baby's born a benesh masar of Shabbos. So meaning Friday twilight. So between Friday and Shabbos. So here's what you cannot do. You can't give the mila on Shabbos itself. Why? Because the only time that the mitzvah of mila is going to override the Shabbos is when it's a mitzvah vaday, when it's a mila vaday, when it's definitively the eighth day. If it's not definitively the eighth day, so then you cannot do the mila on that Shabbos. So over here, it's possible the baby was born on Shabbos, but it was banish mashos. So it was twilight on Friday afternoon. So it's possible, but it's also possible it was born on Friday. We have to take into consideration the baby may have been born on Friday. If that's in fact so then you can't do the mila on Shabbos, so that means it's going to be postponed. Deshema chihu debena shmasho safek yom safek laila v'im yom hu nimtza Shabbos yom tisha. So that means that Shabbos is not going to be the eighth day, it's going to be the ninth day. U'mila shelo bizmanenu dochlo Shabbos v'lo yom tov. And we know that a mila that's done not on the eighth day cannot override neither Shabbos nor Yom Tov. V'im chalu shnei yamim tov m'shav Rosh Hashanah, achar oso Shabbos. Now let's say that Rosh Hashanah and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were to be following after that Shabbos. Eino nimo ad yom shlishi shu shnei masar lelei daso. So then the mila is not going to be occurring until the 12th day from the time that it's born. Because again, now you can't do it on Shabbos, you can't do it on Sunday, day one of Rosh Hashanah, you can't do it on Monday, day two of Rosh Hashanah. You're only going to be doing the mila first time on Tuesday of the following week. Okay, so these are all the circumstances in which you have ranges. In terms of the baking of the lechem upon him and the time that's consumed, 2 to 3 days. The baking of the shtei lechem and its consumption, 2 to 3 days. The baking of the lechem upon him and its consumption, anywhere between 9 to 11 days. And the mitzvah of mila for a baby whose condition is fine, but because of the halachic considerations of when the baby was born and the beinash mashos, and only a definitively 8-day old can be gemalt on Shabbos. So therefore, the mila can range anywhere between 8 to 12 days. Okay. And now what we're going to do for the rest of this morning is we're going to go back to the first line of the Mishnah, and we're going to be talking about the calendar, and we're going to be talking about how many months can be full and how many months can be deficient. Okay. In order to understand this, so let's start off with a statement which I've heard in the past numerous times, and it's such a great way to think about it. Obviously, what we're talking about over here is the calendar, and so this is going to be calendar talk from here until the rest of today's daf. Okay, if you enjoy calendar talk, you're going to love this. It happens to be I like calendar talk. It's the kind of thing that speaks to me. I don't know what it is, but
math.
It could be the math. I just like it. I like the calendar talk. So to me, this is going to be interesting, and hopefully, I can communicate that to you that this is actually somewhat enjoyable. In terms of the lunar calendar, so the lunar calendar is based on the rotation of the moon around the earth, and the solar calendar is based on the rotation of the earth around the sun. And if I could say it like this, and this is such a great sentence, and it'll definitely make you think for the rest of today and hopefully beyond. A solar calendar does not have months, and a lunar calendar does not have years. I'll say it again. A solar calendar does not have months, and a lunar calendar does not have years. Let me explain what I mean by that. Solar calendar does not have months because, as far as the solar calendar is concerned, so the months are just simply, they're just, it's manufacturing. There's no significance to February 1st. There's no significance to March 1st. The only thing that's significant when it comes to a solar calendar is the fact that it takes 1 year, 365 days and 8 hours, and even that's a little bit imprecise, but it's 365 days and 8 hours. I'm sorry, not 8 hours, sorry, 6 hours, right? It's a quarter of a day. 365 days and 6 hours for the Earth to make a full revolution around the sun. The fact that there are 12 months in that, that's manufacturing. Meaning, okay, it's the way we operate. It's so that when I write a check, you know when I wrote the check. And good. But other than that, though, there really isn't months in a solar year. In a lunar year, in a lunar calendar, there really is no year. Meaning, the fact of the matter is that the only thing that we're interested is the rotation around the moon around the Earth. Rotation around the moon around the Earth, so that is going to be marking the month. And then the next time it revolves, that's going to be marking the next month. Meaning, it's really all months. It's not years. We're going to go 12 months and we're going to call that a year? Yeah, because it's pretty close to a year. But that doesn't, that's not what is generating the lunar calendar. What is generating it is just simply the rotation of the moon around the Earth, which is just simply a month. Okay. So with that stated, so we all know what the problem is, and so let's just articulate the problem. The problem is that coordination. We're going to try to coordinate the solar year and the lunar year, and the solar calendar and the lunar calendar. And it doesn't work, meaning they don't coordinate. So the solar year, we know it's 365 and a quarter days. What is a lunar year? So again, there really isn't a lunar year. But if you're going to count 12 lunar months, so how much is that going to go? So let's think about it. First of all, how much is 1 month? So 1 month is a little bit tricky because we know the time that it takes for the revolution of the moon around the Earth. It takes 29 days, 12 hours, and approximately 43 minutes. Okay, just a word about the minutes. So the way we break up an hour is into minutes and seconds. Arbitrary, but that's how we break it up. The Chachamim also break up an hour, but they break it up into what's called a chalak, or in plural, chalakim. Now, how many chalakim are there in an hour? 1,080. Okay, 1,080, why? So the Rambam writes, very interesting. The Rambam writes that the reason why they chose 1,080 is because it is, I don't know how to say this in English, but if there's an opposite for a prime number is something which is only divisible by one, right? Seven's a prime number.
Or itself, right.
It could be divided by either one or itself, and that's it. So 1,080 is, again, I don't know the English word for it or the mathematical term for it, but it is the opposite of a prime number. It's divisible by multiple numbers. You can divide it by 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, right? It is 7. 7, 7 is the only one that's out. But it could be, right?
It's interesting why 7 is out.
Right. So Chachamim chose 1,080 because it's a number that is so easy to work with. It can be divided in so many different ways. Fine. So an hour is divided into 1,080. So the revolution of the moon around the earth is 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalakim. If you do the math, it's really simple, by the way. There are 3,600 seconds in an hour. So it is approximately 3 1/3 seconds for every chalak. Good. So it is approximately 793 chalakim is about 43 minutes. 43 to 44 minutes. Thereabouts. Good. So that's a little bit, that's going to be awkward. Meaning, so how much is a lunar month or so? It's 29 days, 12 hours, and about 43 minutes. You can't put that on the calendar. Right? After you complete 29 and a half days, you'll be like, okay, now next month. No. In other words, it goes by day. In other words, it's going to be by units a day. So what we're going to do is we're going to just do a simple mathematical solution, which is we're going to alternate. But as we'll discuss later this morning, alternating is not going to totally solve for the problem. It'll mostly solve for the problem. It will not totally solve for a problem. So if I go 1 month 29, the next month 30, the next month 29, next day 1 month 30. So if we alternate, so we're basically going to get an average that is very close to the actual revolution of the moon around the Earth. Now, as you already figured out, that doesn't totally solve for the problem because it's 29 days, 12 hours, and 43 minutes. And you can't forget about those 43 minutes. I won't forget about them. They're going to come back a little bit later on. Fine. So we're going to alternate. So now let's do like this. If we take now we take 12 of these months and we alternate back and forth, so that means there's going to be six that are male that are going to go 30 and six that are chaser that are going to go 29. And I do that for a full year. So how many days am I going to end up with at the end of the year? I'm going to end up with 354 days. 354 days of doing this alternating months is good, but it's really incomplete. Meaning it's not incomplete. That's what it is. But if I take that and compare it to a solar year, so we're going to be 11 days deficient. And again, I'm rounding off over here. You understand there's another quarter day to the solar year. But still, it's going to be 11 days deficient. 11 days deficiency, all you need is 3 years, and you're already going to be a full month behind. So what you're going to then be doing is you're going to just basically, you're going to just keep, after 3 years, falling back 1 month. Another 3 years, falling back another month. And the lunar year is just going to keep falling backwards, as it is simply unable to keep up with the solar year. Totally understandable. Now, in other religions, in Islam, so what they do is nothing. In other words, they work with a lunar calendar, and that's it. It's going to fall behind. Okay, so it falls behind. In other words, it doesn't bother them. As far as we're concerned, so we have a Masara that our lunar calendar has to keep up with the solar calendar. Why? Because the Yontovs have to be in certain seasons. Pesach has to be in the spring. Sukkot has to be in the fall. So we know that our Yom Tovim have to coordinate with the season. So therefore, we need to adjust. And here what we call, right, word of the day, intercalation. So what we're going to do now is that we're going to operate the lunar calendar, but also with the understanding that it's got to keep up with the solar year. So how do we do it? So it's actually pretty simple. So you already see that at a three-year period, we're going to be falling back 33 days. So what we're going to do after 3 years is, or not after 3 years, but basically every third year is we're going to be adding a month. And this is what's called an Ibriar. This is going to be an extended year in which we're adding another month, and that's going to make up for it. Now, if you are mathematically sound, you realize that all these numbers I'm saying are really nice, but these are all just estimates. They're not precise. And we need precision over here because there has to be a precision between adjustments so that the solar year and the lunar year are really keeping up one with another. So basically what's going to end up happening is that it's not going to be every third year. It's going to be around every third year, but with some adjustments to be made because those numbers that I presented are not precise. Okay. So far, so good. That just gets us started. Now, let's do the following right now, and just in terms of taking a look at the month. Now, back in the day, now we have a fixed calendar right now, so we don't think much about the calendar because there's nothing to think. The thinking was done for us. Approximately 1,700 years ago, in the period of the Amoraim, so they already took the calendar and they fixed it knowing that the Jewish people are going to be in exile, and I figure it came a point in time where they realized we're going to be in exile for some time. So what they did is they basically just fixed the calendar. No longer is the calendar going to be established by the based in Al-Pi Ar-Ri'iyah, by the witnessing of the new moon, but rather what's going to happen is we're going to fix it. And so for approximately the last 1,700 years, the calendar has been fixed, and there's no thinking involved. And what is the magic number in terms of how many years are we going to be adding an extra month? So 719. We work with a 19th cycle. The fixed calendar works with a 19th cycle. Of those 19 years, seven of those 19 years are going to have an extra month in it. And using this simple formula of seven leap years within a 19-year cycle, so that's it. So from that point forward, we have an adjustment where they've come up with a number that is a really, really accurate way of creating balance between the solar year and the lunar year.
When was the first 19 years? The first cycle of 19 years?
About 1700 years ago.
When Hillel put it into motion.
Right, but not Hillel from the Bombay Sheni. Right, a subsequent one. That's generally how it's said. Okay. Now.
Genius.
Yeah. It really, it's real chachma. Okay. Now, let us go back to a time where there was Kiddush Al-Pi'ariyah when the witnessing of the new moon. Now, there's a term that we're going to be saying a lot over the course of this morning, and that's going to be called molad. Molad is basically conjunction. Okay, if you just want to take an astronomical look, what's going to happen is that as the Earth is revolving around the Sun, the Moon is revolving around the Earth. When you have in alignment the Earth, the Moon, and the Sun, so this is what's called conjunction, and this is the molad. Now, at that point in time, so the Moon looks great, right? I mean, it looks great, but we don't see it. Exactly, because there's simply no. We are now looking at the dark side of the moon, and there's simply nothing to see. Even in the dark of night, you're not going to be seeing the moon during the molad, because exactly for that reason, because we have achieved the point of conjunction. When can you see the moon after the molad? So somewhere between 6 to 12 hours after the molad, you could see the new moon. Although even that's not so simple, because it has to be the right time of day as well. So. But there basically is an idea that when it's shortly after the molad, shortly after conjunction, so one would be able to see the moon. So if you and I were to witness the new moon, so what we would do is we would run to Beis Din, we would tell Beis Din we saw the new moon, and Mikadosh Al-Pi'ariyah. Now, there is a lot of variability over here, but there really isn't. Meaning, some people may see the moon, some people may not. The new moon may be visible only for the last minutes of the day, and some people saw it. Ultimately, when all said and done, look, the molad is an astronomical event, and what's going to end up happening is that it's never going to get off tilt in terms of being mekadosh al-pi'ariyah, because the molad is an event. It's an astronomical event. It is a fixed time in which it happens. So eventually, what's going to end up happening is that even if the Eidim come a day later, and the month is made quote unquote a day later. So it doesn't matter, because eventually it's all going to even out, because it's all following the molad. Now, to complicate matters just a little bit, so when we say that we're Mekadosh Al-Pi'ariyah, that means that when the Eidim see the new month, so they're going to go to Beis Din and they're going to tell Beis Din they saw the new moon, and Beis Din is going to declare it to be, therefore, Rosh Chodesh. Now, as we already pointed out, a lunar month is 29 days, 12 hours, 793 halakim, and we talked about how a month is either going to be 29 or 30 days. And so the Chachamim, when the Beis Din hears the Eidim, they have to take the following into account: the testimony that was provided, and also the day in which we are in the month. Meaning, are we at day 30 or are we at day 31? Meaning, one of those 2 days is going to be Rosh Chodesh of the next month. And there's other things that they have to take into consideration. The Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin speaks about the number of things that the Chachamim have to take into consideration in terms of establishing Rosh Chodesh. And they have to take also a larger picture look at it in terms of where we are in the seasons and where we are in the months. What we're learning together now in the Mishnah is the following. One of the things that Beis Din has to take into consideration in terms of whether this month is going to be a deficient month of only 29 days, where Rosh Chodesh will be on day 30, meaning day 30 will be one of the next month, or the previous month will go 30 days, and that means the 31st day will be the first day of next month, is they're going to have to take a yearly look at the months. And that's as follows. They basically have to take a cheshbon of the year, meaning we know there are going to be 12 lunar months this year. And basically, here's what we're going to do on a regular year. 6 of them are going to be chaser, 6 of them are going to be male. That'll be a regular year. But again, it's not that simple, because again, there has to be adjustments that are made. So there's a range in which can be done. Now, what the Mishnah tells us is the following, that in terms of the smallest number of months that could be full is going to be 4. Now, simple math. If 4 months of the year are going to be full, that means 8 months of the year are going to be deficient. And so, what's that going to do in terms of our year? As I pointed out, if I alternate back and forth between chaser male, it's 354. If we only went 4 months of the year being full, so now where are we in terms of the number of days in that year? 350.
minus.
Well, if I do 4 full months,
minus 4.
So then we're taking 2 days off. It's going to be 352. We're going to be 2 days off.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to be 2 days off. Now, what if I went in the other direction? What if I made 8 full months? So if I made 8 full months, so it's going to be 2 days more. It's going to be 356. So we can now have a year ranging anywhere between 352 to 356. Okay, now hold that thought in mind. Now, is the Mishnah allow for that? Now, that part is going to be the question of the day. What the Mishnah certainly says is that you cannot make anything less than 4 full months. Now, the Mishnah is not clear about that next sentence. I'll read the next sentence in the Mishnah. We already saw it, but now we're going to read it with significance. And lo nira yeser al shmona, it can't go more than 8. Now, what can't go more than 8?
Both.
Oh.
Both.
So, okay. So you see now that there's an ambiguity in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to speak out that ambiguity, and it's not clear if the Mishnah is talking about the full months or the Mishnah is talking about the deficient months. Stay tuned as we're going to be discussing that. Now, before we discuss that, let's do one more thing together outside, and then we'll see the Gemara inside. Okay. Let's go from one Rosh Hashanah to the next Rosh Hashanah, shall we? This Rosh Hashanah, let's say Rosh Hashanah this year falls out on a Monday. Okay? Let's put Rosh Hashanah on a Monday. In our fixed calendars, by the way, Rosh Hashanah cannot fall on a Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. Lo Adu Rosh. Okay, that's in a fixed calendar. Okay, good. For various reasons, the Gemara in Sukkah in the fourth parak discusses it. But we don't have to discuss it now. It is important, just it doesn't have to be for now. So when the calendar is not fixed, Rosh Hashanah can come on any day of the week, presumably. But anyway, let's put Rosh Hashanah on a Monday. Okay, what does that mean now in terms of the next Rosh Hashanah? Now, in a year of 354 days, so let's do it like this. When is the Molad going to be next year? Well, of course we know, because the Molad is a fixed number. Now, the Molad is 29 days, 12 hours, 793 Chalakim. If I did that now 12 times over, if I took that number and multiplied it by 12, because that'll be Rosh Hashanah of next year, so what am I going to end up with? So I'm going to end up with an excess of 4 days, 8 hours. I wrote it somewhere here. Here we go. 4 days, 8 hours, 876 Chalakim advanced where we are right now. Okay? So that means to say that next year's Rosh Hashanah, next year's Molad of Rosh Hashanah is going to be about 4 days later. So that means on a balanced year of 6 months Chaser and 6 months Maleh. So in a balanced year, next Rosh Hashanah is going to fall out 4 days later. Or I should say better, the Molad of next year's Rosh Hashanah is going to fall out 4 days later. And again, for precision purposes, 4 days, 8 hours, and 876 Chalakim. The math works. That means as follows, that if I don't balance the year, if the year is before I get to that point. If we do balance the year, everyone's going to be happy. Right? Very mapsut. Because if I balance a year of 6 chaser, 6 malay, so Rosh Hashanah next year will fall out 354 days. Now, if you do a week, you'll figure that 350 days is divisible by 7, so we're back to where we started from. And then I go 4 days later, 354, so next year's Rosh Hashanah and next year's Molad are going to basically coordinate. Now again, it's not precise, because that 354 days, that's 4 days later, and the Molad next year will be 4 days, 8 hours, and some 48 minutes later. But you basically get it. So that means next year's Rosh Hashanah is going to be, Rosh Hashanah and the Molad are going to coordinate with one another on a balanced year. Once I've taken off the balance of the year, so then people are going to be so confused. Let's say, for example, instead of 354 days, let's say next year, right, we made 2 additional deficient months. So that's 352 years. That means next year's Rosh Hashanah is going to be 52 days later. When's the Molad of next Rosh Hashanah? So the Molad next Rosh Hashanah is still the same. It's still it's still going to be 4 days, 8 hours, and 876 chalakim. That is a fixed number. You can't change the molad. So that means to say now that next year's Rosh Hashanah is going to be 2 days ahead of the molad, 2 days in front of the molad. We're going to be in shul, shuckling, and you know, and praying for our lives on Rosh Hashanah and blowing shofar. And meanwhile, conjunction is not going to be for another 2 days from now. People are going to look around and can think to themselves, Chachamim, do they know what they're doing? Let's do it the other way. Let's say that they added extra Malay months in the year, two extra Malay months in the year. So that means that next year is going to be 300, the year is going to be 356 days. 356 days, well, when's the molad of next Rosh Hashanah? It's going to be the same. It's going to be the same every year. So it's going to be 354, 8 hours, 876 chalakim. So that means to say now that the molad's been around now for 2 days. And by the time we get to Rosh Hashanah, molad's been around for 2 days. Once again, people are going to look and they're going to be like, Chachamim know what they're doing? Okay, so that is a concern. That's a consideration that's coming up in today's daf. Okay, and if I explained it well, and if you're following well, so then you understand why there is much consideration in terms of knowing the amount of time it gets from one Rosh Hashanah to the other in terms of molad, and what happens when we start adjusting the months too much. Okay, in either direction. Okay, we'll start with the Gemara. Okay, that was a lengthy introduction. I know that was a really lengthy introduction, but hopefully everyone, myself included, every time I go through this, by the way, I myself understand it better and better. So every time we go through it, so it really is it's a great, great exercise in terms of understanding the lunar calendar versus the solar calendar. So my lo nira yeser al shmona. So what does it mean when it says lo nira yeser al shmona? Meaning pshat in the Mishnah. We know the first part of the Mishnah, that's very clear. Meaning in terms of playing around with the year, so it can't be anything less than 4 full months. Well, what about in the other direction? So, I'm sorry, Amar Rav Huna, lo nir l'chachamim l'aber yoser shmona. So, the Chachamim felt that in terms of making it 4 months, so no greater than 8. Meaning, according to Rav Huna, we're basically, the Mishnah is going in both directions. Right? That's exactly pshat in the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah is giving us the range of 4 months. 4 months, no less than 4. 4 months, no more than 8. And again, as I just clarified, even as we do it in both directions, so we're going to be having a year where it ranges from anywhere from 352 to 356 days. And by the way, everyone understand that I didn't take into consideration what happens if it's a leap year, and we're going to be adding another month, but we'll get to that point. Meaning that we'll cover that. But in the meantime, however, that's pshat in the Mishnah. So my shantisha delo, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Let's think this through. What's wrong with 9 full months? My shantisha delo im kain kadim asi sahara tausayama. So the Gemara says, because what's going to happen is that the moon now will be, the discrepancy between the molad and Rosh Hashanah is going to be 3 days, as I explained just moments earlier. And again, what the concern is that when people see that, people will think to themselves, the Chachamim really don't know what they're doing. So Hashtanamika kadem asi treyume. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you what. If instead of going 9 full months, I went 8 full months. So that gives me 2 extra days in the year. So now we go from 354 to 356. Okay, but we're still now, we overshot the molad by 2 days. And again, the people are going to say, what's going on over here? So, kedamar Rav Misharsha kagon sha'isa shana mu'uberes, hachanami kagon sha'isa shana shalafana mu'uberes, v'ibr shana chodesh. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how we can do that. How we can make a year with two extra malay months and not reach this problem of overshooting the molad by 2 days. Because consider, what could have happened is the following. What happened is that the previous year was an Ibriyar, which means that we add an extra month. Now that extra month that's added, is it 29 days or is it going to be 30 days? So it's a machlokas. Okay, good. Very good. You've been around long enough. So that's a machlokas, whether that extra Adar is 29 days or 30 days. Let's assume right now that the Adar of last year was 29 days. So what we have is we have a deficiency. We have a built-in deficiency because now we made it 29 days, so that means now that if we add another day, we're going to basically balance that deficiency. Again, it's slightly imprecise because the deficiency is only half a day, but still, for our purposes right now, I'll just round it up and I'll use whole numbers just to make the point of the Gemara as clearly as possible. So because last year we went 20, on the extra month we went 29 days as opposed to 30 days, we have a one-day deficiency. And so this year when we add two extra days, well, one really is going to correspond to the one day that was deficient of last year, because last year was an Ibra year with a 29-day month. And so therefore, we're only going to be overshooting it by one day, not 2 days. Dal yarcha malya bahadi yarcha chaser, chasera, period. So good. So we only are overshooting it by one day. So the Gemara says, okay, vakati chayuma. So the Gemara says, okay, but we overshot it by one day. In other words, it's still a one-day discrepancy in a balanced year where the molad is going to come out 4 days later and Rosh Hashanah is going to come out 4 days later. So great. But even if I do a one-day discrepancy, so we still overshot the molad by one day, so the Gemara says, chayuma lo adaiti dinshi. So the Gemara says, okay, for one day, we're not worried about what the people are thinking. You understand, by the way, from this Gemara, it seems very clear that in terms of the Chachamim's ability to adjust the year as necessary, meaning they could do basically what they want, obviously within limitations, but they could basically do what they want. But they're also worried about the perception of what it looks like to the people. They don't want the people to think that they are, you know, they're misguided and they're totally off. So for a one-day discrepancy between the Molad and the actual Rosh Hashanah, so that the Chachamim said, if that's all it is, we're not that worried. Two or more days, so then we have to be concerned about what the perception is and how people think it. This is one way we're going to look at the Mishnah, and now what comes out now that this is Rav Huna's Pshat in the Mishnah, and that means that a year can be anywhere within a range of 4 to 8 Malay months, which means that a year, a regular lunar year of 12 lunar months, can be anywhere in the range from 352 to 356. So far, so good. This is our first Pshat in the Mishnah. Ula disagrees. Ula amar lo nir lechachamim lechase yasa ashmona umaytayma kamar. The Mishnah, what the Mishnah means is that when the Mishnah says no more than 4 full months, no less than 4 full months, matamim pochasim yar bechadashim ubarim b'shanim yishim de lo nir lechachamim lechase yasa ashmona. It's because the Chachamim don't want any more than 8 deficient months. Meaning the way Ula understands it, that when the Chachamim can adjust the year, the only thing they can do in increments of 2 is only go in the direction of 2 additional chaser months, meaning no more than 4 full months, which will create 8 chaser months. That gives me a discrepancy of 2 from the average, but that's only in that direction. But not in the other direction. Meaning, according to Ula, here's what you can't do. You can't make 8 full months in a year. You can only do 7 full months in a year, but you can't go 8. Now, the Gemara says, let's think this through. Maishna tisha dolo. Now, 8 chasa months. What does that make my year? It makes my year 352.
So 2 days earlier.
So we're 2 days earlier. Our Rosh Hashanah is going to be 2 days earlier than the Molad. So Maishna Tisha Delo, and if I made it, and if I did 9, so we'd be 3 days earlier. The Imke Miyasra Siara Talsi Yuma. So that means to say now that Rosh Hashanah is going to be 3 days before the Molad, Hashanami Kamet Yari Tre Yume. So the Gemara says, so even if I do 8 Chaser months, so Rosh Hashanah is going to be 2 days before the Molad. So the Gemara says that Kedamer of Misharshik Kegon Shaisa Shana Muberes.
If it's 3 days, you can see the old moon if you're calling it Rosh Hashanah.
Right, it's an excellent point. So the Gemara says Kimi Asrei Trei Yuma Kedamer Misharshik Kegon Shaisa Shana Muberes Achanami Kegon Shaisa Shana Shalafaneh Muberes. So the Gemara says, okay. So here's what we could say. So we could say that the previous year was a Shnas Muberes. It was a leap year. Dal Yarcha Chaser Bahadi Yarche Malya. And so now we're assuming that the previous leap year was 30 days. So that gave us a bump of 1 day. So now the one extra chaser month of this year will balance from last year's extra month, which had a 30-day month. So the Gemara says, okay, but there's still a one-day discrepancy. Sarve ischazei ischazei va'ana lavadaita. If it's a one-day discrepancy, so we can tolerate discrepancy, and the Gemara actually says it even better. The Gemara says, look, for a one-day discrepancy where Rosh Hashanah comes out one day before the Molad, so that means that when people go to shul, so they'll think to themselves as follows. Oh, you know what? Maybe the Molad did actually occur. Because all you need to do is just wait one more day and the Molad and the new moon will be visible. And people will say, you know what? I bet you the new moon was out. I just didn't see it. Okay. For a one-day discrepancy. Two or beyond, people are not gonna be that courteous. That kind of courtesy is not gonna be extended to the Chacham. Now over here, so Rav Huna and Ula now are having the following debate. A year can be adjusted. An average year is 6 months male, 6 months chaser. According to Rav Huna, an adjustment can go plus or minus two in either direction. So that means that according to Rav Huna, I can go four male, eight chaser. I can go four chaser, eight male. Okay. I can go in either direction. And according to Ula, no, you cannot. Ula says that the only thing you can do is you can go four male, eight chaser, but I can't go in the other direction. I can't go eight male and four chaser. Now, but my kamiflagi, so then you're wondering, as the Gemara is doing right now, why are they having this argument? So the Gemara says, Bi'i Bershana. So they're having this argument because what they're really arguing about is that when I do add another month in the year, which happens about every third year, as I explained in the beginning of Shir today, so when you're adding another month in the year, so that extra month that you're adding, is it going to be a 30-day month? Is it going to be a 29-day month? Or does it vary? So this is a debate. So Bi'i Bershana D'Tanya Kama I'i Bershana Lamed. So according to the Tanakama, I'i Bershana, when I add my other base, so according to the Tanakama, it's always going to be 30 days. And I previously have given an explanation in terms of the position of the Tanakama. Why is it always going to be 30 days? And please forgive me, I forgot who said this, but one of the Achronim said it, and it's good. It makes a lot of sense. Because consider that if, let's say, for example, you're out there out in the boondocks, and it's Kiddush Al Pi HaRe'iyah, and you heard when Rosh Chodesh Adar is, but you just didn't catch wind in terms of when Rosh Chodesh Nisan is. If you know that Rosh Chodesh Adar base, the extra Adar that was added, if you know when it's Rosh Chodesh is, and you know that it's a fixed month of always 30 days, so then you can from there already calculate when Pesach is going to be. So the Tanakhama says, so it's going to be fixed, it's always going to be 30 days. Masha Einkein, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, or Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Chodesh. No, it's a month. What he means by that is, varies. Meaning, we'll treat it like a regular month. So it could be 29 days, could be 30 days, depending on the discretion of the Chachamim, and what the Beis Din decides for that given year. So now, once you have these two positions in mind, so now you understand. According to the position of the Tanakhama, whenever a leap year is introduced, it's always going to create an additional day vis-a-vis the Molad and the lunar calendar, because it's always going to be 30. So the adjustment next year is always going to adjust, the post-leap year is always going to adjust for an extra day. So therefore, if you want to put in an additional deficient month in the upcoming year, by all means, that's great. But you will never be in a position to be adding an additional Malay month the following year because the leap year is always going to be representing an additional day. That's the position of Ula. Masha Einkein, according to Rav Huna, fluctuates. Sometimes the leap year will create a deficiency because sometimes it's 29 days. Sometimes it will create an excess, an overage. Sometimes it's 30 days. So therefore, that's why, according to the opinion of Ula, according to the opinion of Rav Huna, so the following, the post-leap year, can have to adjust in either direction, and that's why you can go plus two on the chaser side, or the plus two on the malei side. Okay? Hopefully, that was clear. Meisvei. The Gemara is going to be challenging based on the Brice, and the Brice says as follows. Einat seres chala ela b'yom hanef. Shavuos is always going to be the same day of the week as the second day of Pesach. Now that makes a lot of sense because consider you're counting the Omer. The counting the Omer starts on the second day of Pesach, and so therefore you're counting 50 days. You're counting 49 days. Shavuos is the 50th day, same day of the week. Good. V'ein Rosh Hashanah chala ela o b'yom hanef olor or iburo. Now when's Rosh Hashanah going to fall out? Now in our fixed calendars, we know the answer. The day of the week that Rosh Hashanah is going to fall out is always going to coordinate with the third day of Pesach. There's a great mnemonic to help you remember. It's the Atbash of the days of Pesach. The Atbash of the days of Pesach. Meaning that the first day of Pesach, that's the Aleph, is always going to be the same day of the week as the Tes, sorry, as the Tav, and that's going to be Tisha B'Av. Right? They always coordinate. First day of Pesach this year fell out on a Shabbos. The Tisha B'Av is going to be this year on Shabbos. Okay? Gets pushed off because you don't do Tisha B'Av on Shabbos. It's going to be pushed off to Sunday. Good. What's Beis? The second day of Pesach is going to be Shavuos. That's the Bash, the Beis Shin. Gimel. What's the Gimel, the third day? So that's going to coordinate with Reish, right? Tav Shin Reish. We're going backwards. So that's going to be Reish, and that's going to be Rosh Hashanah. In our fixed calendars, so you can put it on your calendar. You don't even have to. It's done for us. But you can put it on the calendar that the third day of Pesach is going to be the same day as Rosh Hashanah. Third day of the, Pesach this year was a Monday. Rosh Hashanah this year is going to be on a Monday. Huh? It goes on from there. Okay. For now, that's sufficient. Yom HaNeif is the second day of Pesach. Or Iburo is the third day of Pesach. Why is Or Iburo the third day of Pesach? I see where we are in time. I will not explain it right now. See Rashi. Or Iburo, for our purposes right now, let's just keep it as simple as possible. That's the third day of Pesach. Now, this Brisa tells us that there's actually variability. Now, we don't have it nowadays. Our calendar is fixed. We don't have any kind of variability. It's always going to be in our fixed calendars that Rosh Hashanah falls out on the same day of the week as the third day of Pesach. Always, always. But back in the day, so there was some variation. Sometimes Rosh Hashanah fell on the second day of Pesach and sometimes on the third day of Pesach. Now, Bishlam al-Ula d'shmona chaserun abdinan mu'ubarin lo abdina mishkach ala shnehem. So according to Ula, so it actually works out. Because remember, what does Ula say? Ula allows for 8 deficient months. So 8 deficient months, shmona chaserun abdinan mu'ubarin lo abdinan. But he does not allow for 8 full months in a given year. So mishkach ala shnehem chaser b'yom haneif echad malev echad chaser l'or iburo. So that means to say now that if we added 2 deficient months, so it's going to be the yom haneif, it's going to be the second day. If I add only 1 deficient month, it's going to be the third day. Again, if you have the calendar in front of you right now, you'll see it a lot clearer, but it works. The numbers work. El Rav Huna da Amar Abdina Mubarin. So the Gemara says, but according to Rav Huna, where could we go in terms of making a year? You can go in either direction. You can make 4 deficient months. You can make 4 male months. And so really can go in every direction. So you have a +2 in either direction. So Zimin de Mishkachala or Iburo. With that in mind, so now according to Rav Huna, where you have that kind of variability, so now it can come out that there really is another option in terms of when the day of Rosh Hashanah is going to fall out. The day of Rosh Hashanah can come out not only on day 2, not only on the day 3, but on possibility of day 4 as well. So Amlacha Rav Huna Lula Minicha. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, says Rav Huna. You really think for Ula everything works out? Shmonu hu dolo avdinan hashiv avdinan. You see, according to Ula, so look, I can make 8 male months, but I can make 7 male months. According to Ula, he allows for that. Meaning on the male side, so you can't go +2, but you can go +1. So the Gemara says, okay, so we are going to be adding an additional male month into the year. Not 6, but 7. Where are we putting that? Now, we've been assuming up until now that we put it sometime in the winter. That's true, but it's not necessary. So, Avdina Shiva Zimlan Dol Avdina Besisva Avdina Bekaita, sometimes not in the winter, but sometimes in the summer, Vahavela or Iburo. And by adding that extra month in the summertime, you've now created an additional day separating Pesach and Rosh Hashanah. And so, once again, now Rosh Hashanah is going to come out not on the third day, but it's going to fall out on the fourth day. So, in other words, the fourth day of Pesach is going to coordinate with the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So, Elamani HaAcherim, he said, the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. The author of this Brisa that we just learned together, that tells us that Rosh Hashanah is either going to fall out on day 2 or on day 3, but on no other day. So, the author of this Brisa is neither position that we've explored so far, but rather it coordinates with the opinion of Acherim, the Tanya. The Gemara quotes the following brisa: Acherim omrim, ein bein aseres la'aseres ve'ein bein Rosh Hashanah la'Rosh Hashanah ela arba yamim bilvad. Acherim are of the opinion that it is always going to be a balanced year of 6 months chaser, 6 months male. It's always going to be a year is always going to be 354 days. And that's how it's going to be for every single year. Now you have to wonder. You can't do that for every single year. The Gemara in a moment is going to ask that question. But that's the opinion of the Acherim. V'im ha'isa shana mu'beret chamisha. Now, if it's going to be a shnat mu'beret, so now it's going to be not 4 days from one Rosh Hashanah to the next, it's going to be 5 days. Because he's of the opinion that what the shnat mu'beret does is it's going to be adding an additional day. Meaning the shnat mu'beret will be, I'm sorry, the Ibra month will be 29 days. In other words, 28 divisible by 7. 29 will give you one additional day. So instead of moving Rosh Hashanah 4 days into the week on an Ibra Yar, it'll go 5 days into the week. Okay. So the Gemara says, fine. So the Gemara says, okay, but look, according to the Acherim, where the calendar is so fixed, and it's always balanced at 6 and 6, so I don't understand. How can you have any variability between Rosh Hashanah, between Pesach and Rosh Hashanah? Meaning, remember, the Brisa said that sometimes Rosh Hashanah can fall out, can be on the same day as the second day of Pesach, or sometimes on the third day. According to the Acherim, you don't have any variation. So the Gemara says, sure. Because what can happen sometimes, even according to the Acherim, is that it will be a leap year. The Ibr Shana will be 30 days. And that is how you could be adding an additional day, even according to the Acherim. Okay. Now the Gemara, according to Acherim, tell me that the year is balanced, and we'll figure out the rest. Meaning, according to Acherim, you know, from Rosh Hashanah to the next Rosh Hashanah is only going to be 4 days. Once we know that according to the Acherim, every year is a balanced year of 6 Mala and 6 Chaser, like we could figure it out. It's very simple. We did the math earlier this morning. 354 days. All you're doing is just going 4 days ahead now. Well, like we could figure it out. According to the Acherim, look, when is the new month? So again, back in the day, it was when the witnesses saw the first sighting of the new month, and so therefore they reported to Beis Din, and your Mekadosh al-Pi Ari'iyah. According to the Acherim, it's just a consideration. Meaning, when the witnesses come, Beis Din, well, they won't say this so blatantly, and so bluntly to the, you know, they'll have some bedside manner, but they'll say to the Edim, basically, we'll take it under consideration. Thank you so much for telling us about the new moon, right? We'll think about it now. Because again, for them, the calculation of the molad, as we just described it, is also going to be pressing on them as well. So the Gemara says, even according to the Acherim, you see, now we go back full circle to where we started this morning. Even according to the Acherim, you see, going a balanced year is not going to work. Because going a balanced year of 6 months, maling 6 months chaser, so that gets me 354 days. Now, we said this earlier this morning, but let's repeat it again. Going from molad of this Rosh Hashanah to the molad of next Rosh Hashanah. So one molad is 29 days, 12 hours, 793 chalakim. Do that 12 times over, and I'll do the math for you. It comes out that next year's Rosh Hashanah molad will be 4 days, 8 hours, 876 chalakim, approximately 48 minutes later than it was this Rosh Hashanah. And so that means that even if we work with the Acherim on a balanced year, so on the balance sheet, it's not balanced. You're going to be having every year, you're going to fall behind by 8 hours, 876 chalakim. Let's first take the 8 hours. 8 hours now is going to accumulate into one day after how many years? 3 years. So already 3 years, you're going to be now, you're going to be a full day behind the molad. 876 chalakim. So how many years is that going to take to make up one day? I did the math, as the Gemara did as well. First the Gemara did it, then I did it. Okay, just right. But I, whatever. In other words, fun with numbers. It takes 30 years. 30 years of 876 chalakim also is going to give me a full day. So even according to the Acherim, 3 years go by, and we still have to add another day into the year in order so that the Rosh Hashanah will keep up with the molad. After 30 years, you're also going to have to add another day to make up for those 876 chalakim. So the Gemara says, asks exactly this question. This is the question of the Gemara. Maskev l'ravina v'aika yuma d'shav yuma d'talsim. What about the day that comes up from the hours? That's the 8 hours. And what about the days that come up from the chalakim, the 876 chalakim? So kema deleisa b'chol shasa lo kachasha. So the Gemara says, basically, of course you're right. Of course, even according to the Acherim, where they always want a balanced year, that's what they want. But there also has to be an adjustment. So you're right. Even according to the Acherim, after 3 years, not after, at every 3 years, you're going to have to add a day because of the 8 hours. And after 30 years, you're also going to have to add a day because of the 876 chalakim. Okay. So what do we stand right now? We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from this point going forward. So where do we stand right now? We have two ways to understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that there's going to be a range in terms of the Chachamim and their ability to make the leap year to make a lunar year not a balanced year. A balanced year is going to be 6 Mali, 6 Chaser, getting us to 354. But there can be variation. There can be variability. What kind of variability? A machlokus on the Amoraim, and it's really a machlokus of how to read the Mishnah. According to Rav Huna, we can have variability going in either direction, where you can go 4 Chaser, 8 Mali, 4 Mali, 8 Chaser. So basically, plus or minus 2 months in either direction. Now, that is going to, therefore, give me a range of a lunar year of going anywhere from 352 to 356. And as we explained in the course of today's daf, you can do that, and you'll need to do that because sometimes a leap year will adjust in either direction. The previous year's leap year will adjust in either direction, causing either a deficiency against the molad or an increase against the molad. And so therefore, the upcoming year now can adjust for that. According to Ula, no. Ula says that the only time that you can go an additional two is only on the chaser side. An additional two, only on the chaser side. But you can't go an additional two on the male side. So you can go 4-8 chaser against male, but you can't do 4-8 male. You can't go 4-8 putting 8 male against 4 chaser. And the reason why, as we learned in today's daf, is because he believes, he subscribes to the viewpoint that a leap year is only going to be 30 days, so you're only going to be dealing with a bump, and you're never going to be dealing with a deficiency. So therefore, if there's ever a situation where you're going to have to put extra chaser months, it's only going to be on the chaser side, not on the malay side. That's Ula. That is the Gemara in a nutshell. And hopefully, in a 20-minute nutshell, and hopefully we all gained a little bit in terms of our understanding of the calendar.